colleagues, good morning and welcome to the conference call interim report to 30th of September 2013. That is the first 9 months of 2013. First of all, as always, Dr. Norbert Reithofer, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Friedrich Eichiner, Member of the Board of Management in charge of finance, will give you an overview of business development, and after that, you'll be given the opportunity to ask your questions. I'll pass the floor to Dr. Reithofer.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We remain on track to achieve our targets for the business year 2013. A new sales record at group level and a pre-tax profit similar to last year's. This is assuming that the economic and political conditions do not worsen significantly. Where do we stand after the first 9 months of this year? Worldwide, we sold more than 1.4 million cars. That's a new BMW Group sales record. Our group pre-tax profit was more than 6 billion euros, which is around the same high level we achieved in the same period last year. Group net profit stood at more than 4 billion euros, which is slightly higher than last year. The EBIT margin in our automotive segment was 9.5%, which is at the upper end of the target range we set ourselves for profitability. We have achieved this despite the continued decline in total market sales in Europe. Buyer hesitation in Southern Europe seems to have extended to Central Europe as well. As a global company, we continue to profit from an approach based on a balanced worldwide growth. Between January and September, we achieved growth on nearly every continent in Europe, in Asia and China, in the Americas and the United States. The BMW Group remains the market leader in the global premium segment. Every one of our core series vehicles are segment leaders: BMW 1 Series, the 3, 5, and 7 Series, and the 6 Series and the X1. Many of you came to see us at the Frankfurt Motor Show. There, we showed what the strength of our product portfolio is. As an independent multi-brand automotive company, our focus remains solely on the premium sector. That is what our BMW, MINI, and Rolls-Royce automobiles and our BMW Motorrad motorcycles stand for. In Frankfurt, we also showed our customers what they can expect from us in the near future: the BMW 4 Series Coupe, the third generation BMW X5, and the Rolls-Royce Wraith are just a few examples. By the end of 2013, we will have launched a total of 14 new models. With that, we're offering our customers a young, attractive product portfolio. Further attractive models will be introduced in 2014, including several high-performance M models. At the same time, we're breaking new ground in technology. We're setting new milestones in our company's history. The BMW brand will introduce front-wheel drive, and a range of three-cylinder engines is to set power to the new MINI. With our BMW i8, we're launching a real brand shaper for the plug-in hybrid technology. Plug-in hybrid technology can also reduce fuel consumption in sports activity vehicles. The BMW Concept X5 eDrive demonstrates this using just 3.8 liters fuel per 100 kilometers. BMW Motorrad will also enter the world of electric mobility with the launch of the C-Evolution in 2014. In just a few days from now, on the 16th of November, we'll launch the all-electric BMW i3. The radical approach behind this car makes it an enabler and a pace setter in a consistent application of lightweight construction. Our BMW i brand is opening up new opportunities for carbon technologies in series production of conventional vehicles. Not only does carbon assist in bringing CO2 emissions down even further, it's also making vehicles safer. With regard to the future, we will continue developing technologies in our facilities, in our production plants. We do this from a position of strength, and we're doing this early. This is consistent with the long-term focus of the BMW Group. Despite these extensive upfront investments in our future and despite the volatility of the markets, we want to remain profitable. That means an EBIT margin in the automotive segment of between 8% and 10%.
The business segments BMW Motorrad and our financial services will also contribute to the group's success. Last month, BMW Motorrad celebrated its 19th anniversary. As you know, the first ever BMW built back in 1923 was not a car, but a motorcycle. Since that time, BMW Motorrad has sold more than 2.8 million motorcycles to customers around the world. And in perfect time for its anniversary, BMW Motorrad is at the top of its game. Sales figures for the first 9 months are at new record levels, totaling more than 93,000 units. We achieved this despite the fact that the motorcycle markets relevant to us have continued to decline. Our Motorrad business will continue to grow profitably and remain an integral part of the BMW Group. Another issue in securing our future is the need for appropriately qualified employees. First and foremost, we need engineers, experts, and specialists, as well as upcoming generations of young associates. In the third quarter of this year, some 1,400 apprentices began their careers with BMW Group. Of those, 1,200 work at locations in Germany. At the end of the third quarter, employee numbers have risen by 5% to reach more than 109,000 associates worldwide. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter where the BMW Group operates in the world, we take our role of responsible corporate citizens seriously. This holds true for 140 countries in which we sell our cars. It's also true for every one of our 28 production plants in 13 countries. As the leading player in the automotive industry's premium sector, we will continue to shape not only our future, but that of our industry. Through this, we will continue to strengthen the global reputation of Made in Germany. That's BMW. Thanks for your attention. Thank you, Dr. Reithofer, and now over to Dr. Eichiner. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning from me as well. BMW Group once again performed well in the third quarter. We're on the right track, both strategically and operationally. We will continue our efforts in preparing the company for the future. Our target is to ensure the long-term competitiveness of the BMW Group. That's more important than short-term profit. The group's profitability is fully in line with expectations. Our EBIT margin, 10.6% for the third quarter, was on par with that of last year. The automotive segment achieved an EBIT margin of 9% for the third quarter and 9.5% in the first 9 months. Sound profitability forms the basis of our extensive upfront investments. Our business environment has remained challenging, with the situation in the European markets no less difficult than before in the third quarter. With a few exceptions, the Western European auto market continues to decline, resulting in intense competition. In Europe, BMW Group sales remained stable, the same level as last year, while our major U.S. and Chinese markets and many emerging markets reported double-digit growth. Thanks to our balanced global presence, the BMW Group was able to achieve healthy volume growth. Our retail sales of 1.436 million vehicles in a year to the end of September represented an increase of 7.5% over the same period last year. At €18.75 billion, third quarter group revenues were almost at the same level as the previous year. Growth in the new leasing business led to higher inter-segment revenue eliminations, which caused revenue development to lag behind sales growth. More intense competition and negative currency conversion effects also curtailed revenues. Adjusted for currency effects, revenues would have been 4.4% higher year-on-year. Group pre-tax earnings stood at €1.989 billion in the third quarter and reached €6.024 billion after the first 9 months, which is almost the same level as last year. In the same period in 2012, benefited from a positive one-time effect of €124 million in the financial services segment. Adjusted for this effect, pre-tax earnings would have risen 2% year-on-year. The BMW Group is forging ahead with the development of new vehicle projects and alternative technologies as we prepare for the future today. We are taking the strict CO2 requirements seriously, which will come into effect in the European Union and other markets in 2020. and we will continue to prepare the company to meet these ambitious targets. Early preparation has served us well in the past. Our efficient dynamics package has earned us a competitive edge since its introduction in 2007. Back then, we were the first car company to voluntarily implement efficiency measures across the fleet as a standard. In line with our strategy, we're also investing in expanding our production network and improving process efficiency. Strengthening our brands and further enhancing customer care are also continuously in focus. These areas require additional upfront investments of around 1 billion euros this year. This will mainly affect the automotive segment and impact the fourth quarter to a significant extent. R&D expenditure for the first 9 months rose to 3.2 billion euros. This represents an increase of 14% over the previous year. The R&D ratio for the year to the end of September stood at 5.8% of group revenues, just above our target range of 5%-5.5%. The R&D ratio for the full year will also be above this targeted range. The BMW Group's capital expenditure for the first 9 months totaled 4.3 billion euros. Most of this sum was invested in capacity expansion, in new technologies, and model ramp-ups. The CapEx ratio for the first 9 months stood at 7.8% of revenues. As previously announced, we will exceed our CapEx target of below 7% of revenues over the full year. This will enable the BMW Group to enhance its future competitiveness and secure its business model through targeted investments in its premium brands, its products, and technologies. Investment levels and R&D expenditure will remain high next year as well. We expect 2013 and 2014 to be the peak years, with significant upfront investments in future projects. For the year to the end of September 2013, group liquidity totaled more than 10.7 billion euros, giving us a solid financial position. Let's move on to the automotive segment, which bore the lion's share of the upfront investments in future projects and the challenging conditions in the European markets I referred to before. In the third quarter, segment revenues reached nearly 17.2 billion euros and remain almost unchanged year-on-year. Although currency conversion effects dampened the revenue development. EBIT for the automotive segment totaled almost 1.55 billion euros, which is a decrease of 6% compared with the same period of last year. Despite the high level of investment in future projects and despite persistent challenges in the European markets, we still expect EBIT margin for the full year to remain within our target range of 8%-10%. The fourth quarter is traditionally impacted by higher costs and CapEx, with many projects billed at the end of the year. This effect will be significant in 2013 and feed through to the segment's profitability. In addition, we will see a ramp-up in marketing expenses for the new models set to boost sales next year. After 9 months, the positive business trend within the segment is reflected in a strong operating cash flow and a free cash flow of 2.45 billion euros. Despite the high level of capital expenditure in the fourth quarter, we still expect to generate a free cash flow below 3 billion for the full year. As per 30th of September, net financial assets in the automotive segment amounted to 12.4 billion euros and therefore remain at a very healthy level. Ladies and gentlemen, the financial services segment continues to benefit from strong new business and attractive refinancing conditions. However, we are seeing slightly narrower margins due to increasing competition. The strong demand for financial services and our positive operating performance have largely continued in the third quarter. For the same period, pre-tax profit amounted to 398 million euros, a decrease of 6.4% year-on-year. The third quarter of 2012 benefited from a positive effect
of 46 million euros from end-of-lease business. Adjusted for this effect, quarterly earnings would have increased by 5%. Financial services leased or financed 45% of new BMW Group vehicles in the first 9 months of 2013. This higher penetration rate is essentially due to growth in new business in the United States. There, the premium segment continues to expand at a dynamic rate. The risk situation in the segment is largely unchanged from the previous quarter. Credit risks remain stable. Although the situation in the Southern European markets remains challenging, there are no signs of further deterioration. There has been little change in residual value risks. Used car prices remain stable in the Americas and Europe, while the Southern European markets have stabilized at a low level. Our proactive risk management makes the necessary provisions to cover potential market risks. Let's take it to our motorcycle segment. BMW Motorrad continued to defend its position in a declining market. While the motorcycles market contracted by 4.3% worldwide, the segment's retail sales for the year to the end of September climbed 8.4% to 93,154 units. New models in particular, such as the F800 GT and the R1200 GS, contributed to the sales growth. Segment revenues year to September rose 1.6% to reach a total of 1.23 billion euros. The motorcycle segment achieved an EBIT of 93 million euros for the first 9 months. That's an increase of 13.4% from the previous year. Ladies and gentlemen, we expect group sales development to remain largely positive for the rest of the year, and we're targeting single-digit sales growth for 2013, despite weak Western European markets. Of course, we cannot rule out the possibility of a global downturn with the associated risks for our business. The group is still targeting pre-tax earnings for the full year on a similar scale to that reported in 2012. In the automotive segment, EBIT margin is likely to remain within our target range of 8%-10%. The target for the financial services segment is a return on equity of at least 18%. We also expect the positive business development in the motorcycle segment to continue. The BMW Group is creating the necessary conditions to sustain its successful business. We're able to confirm our guidance for the full year, assuming that economic and political conditions do not worsen significantly. As I already mentioned, the fourth quarter will be impacted to a great extent by CapEx and costs. For 2014, the BMW Group is in an excellent position. Our young and attractive product portfolio will provide sufficient momentum in sales. Over the coming year, we'll introduce quite a number of brand new models. We also expect this year's new launches to generate growth in the first full year on the market. There's currently no substantial improvement in the operational environment in sight. The economic forecast for the Eurozone is cautiously optimistic, although the situation in parts of Europe will remain challenging. Growth forecasts for the major emerging markets, Brazil, Russia, and India, have been lowered slightly. We remain confident about China and the U.S. We will continue on our strategic course, working to strengthen our earning power and our competitiveness, and standing by our profitability targets. At the same time, we're making the high upfront investments needed to prepare the BMW Group successfully for the challenges of the future. We continue to take action and set new standards, and we continue to expand our leading position in the premium segment. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Eichiner. Ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, we've now got time to take your questions. I'll ask the colleagues to give you the technical instructions for the conference, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, press telephone key zero one. You'll be given the opportunity to ask your questions. Should you be listening over the loudspeaker, I'd like to ask you to ask your questions using the receiver. Thanks, and just a moment for the first question. First question, Christoph Raubald, Bloomberg News.
Good morning from Frankfurt. I have a question, Mr. Eichiner, about the comments you just made on the fourth quarter and the costs to be expected. Could you just quantify this? In the market, I think they're talking about 500 million euros. That's half of the 1 billion that was announced in the spring, the investment program. Maybe you can comment on the 500 million and give a little more precise information as to the EBIT margin to be expected in the fourth quarter. Thank you.
Dr. Eichiner?
Mr. Raubald, well, I can confirm that order of magnitude for the fourth quarter, and for the fourth quarter, we're expecting a margin at the lower end of the corridor.
Thank you. Next question.
Jean-Philippe Lacour, Les Echos.
Good morning, gentlemen, from Frankfurt. I've got a couple of questions. How about the upfront expenditure you mentioned? Could you give me an overview of how much BMW wants to invest, let's say, until 2015? Your competitor, Audi, has got quite extensive plans. They want to catch up. Or can you just make a comparison or give us an idea what BMW is planning to invest in the future? Second question, you're confirming your main target on the condition that the political environment doesn't change. Well, political environment, can you explain what you mean by that? Which regions were you referring to, or is it Germany we're talking about, or Europe, or... And then my last question for the time being, since we've been talking about politics, aren't you concerned that the reputation of the car industry will suffer in connection with this affair, you know, the public prosecutor that are investigating a CDU politician for accepting bribes? And just before that, I know that's unrelated, but CDU, the Christian Democrat Party, they also received a large donation from your main shareholder. That was mid of October. Can you comment on that? Aren't you a little concerned about the reputation of the industry? Because shouldn't you not be so close to politics?
Thank you, Mr. Lacour. We'll do it like that. Upfront expenditure investment, 2015 and future, that'll be Dr. Eichiner and then Dr. Reithofer. Dr. Eichiner?
Well, on the upfront expenditure, we had already announced that 2013 and 2014, we'll have higher upfront investments. That means this year, the 7% corridor of CapEx will be exceeded, and we expect the same to happen next year as well. And after that, we expect to be back within the range indicated. That's our expectation. Investments will go into many areas: technology, lightweight construction, electrification, e-mobility, just to give you a couple of examples. But also the production network, future growth now needs to be backed up by investment into production capacities. And on the marketing side, you know, with the many product ramp-ups, these require some expenses. So this is just about the range of what we're seeing at the moment, with a peak in 2013-14.
Thank you. Dr. Reithofer?
Well, you've asked the question about political environment. What's meant by that? Well, we're talking about market forecasts. How will individual markets develop? How will the European Union develop, let's say, in the next 2 years? Will the U.S. stay on track for growth? Will China continue to show further growth? These are the questions
that we refer to when we say political or business situation or conditions. Looking at Europe alone, we're saying that in some of the countries we've reached the bottom of the trough as far as the declining markets are concerned. But if we're already talking about growth now, then we're still talking about very moderate growth, especially in the southern European countries. That's something we need to observe closely. We'll have to see how that'll develop. And it all depends on whether we're now more optimistic about Europe or not. At the moment, we're forecasting that it won't be until the second half of 2014 that the market conditions in Europe will improve. Now, it all depends on how do we deal with these issues politically in the European Union and in the Eurozone. Well, will there be stronger growth in Europe, yes or no? Or will Europe be an issue in terms of the economy over the next 5 years? It all depends on that. Well, for the US, we continue to be optimistic. For China, we continue to be optimistic. And if I may say so, in the US, so far, for the first 10 months, we had two-digit growth. Looking at China, the first 10 months, we had two-digit growth. It's looking good. Whereas in Europe, well, Mr. Eichner mentioned this, the development was similar to that of the previous year. See, this is what we mean when we say business conditions or environment. Now, your next question related to damage to our reputation because of the public prosecutor investigating Mr. Kledin. Well, we cannot make a statement on that. You need to ask Daimler, not us. Then your next question, you asked about the donation the Quant family made. Please bear with us. We cannot comment on this because this is a donation made by the Quant family, a private matter. Thank you. Next question, please.
Mirko Rabka, Platobrief. Good morning. I got three questions, or four, I'm sorry. I'd like to know when or how many units of the i3 do you have to sell in order to pay for the CapEx costs before you write black figures, that is. And then I'd like to know, does it help you a lot when there's talk about a postponement of the introduction of those stricter CO2 requirements, or does that tend to more help your competitors because they're still lagging behind? And in that context, do you expect that beyond the 95 grams, will there be even more stricter requirements? Because there has been a discussion about it. Then I'd like to know, perhaps, Mr. Reithofer, you could be a little more precise about this. For Europe, do you expect a deterioration of market conditions, or are you hoping that there'll be a turnaround? That wasn't quite clear to me in your last answer. And my last question, perhaps, Mr. Eichner, with regard to refinancing. You've got a very high liquidity, but you also need to spend a lot of money at the moment. Is it possible that refinancing costs in the near future will considerably increase with possibly increasing interest rates, meaning that the profit of the group will not grow as rapidly anymore? Thank you, Mr. Reibka. Well, colleagues, can I just briefly say one thing, and that's about CO2. I mean, we never had any doubts that we would not accept or criticize the 95 grams target. So the 95 grams target in 2020 is a target that stands at the moment. There is a discussion about this in Europe. Tonight there will be another meeting about this, so we will not comment on it for the time being. So let's just leave it at that, even if there should be further questions. And then we'll continue. BMW i3, the number of units, the development costs. Dr. Eichner, please. Mr. Reibka, the volume we need in order to pay for our development costs, well, that's a question we never even asked because it was
always clear that the ramp-up curve for the I3 will be a slow one. And we had planned our capacities accordingly. And, well, we can see that there's pretty good demand for it at the moment, which confirms our approach. Over and above that, you should also see that the I3 is not only a product project, but it's a large enabler for us, because with the I3, we're introducing new technologies. Let me just say carbon and the entire electrification. And that's why I believe you need to assess this project slightly differently. So this is a calculation we didn't even make, because it was clear from the outset that that wouldn't be relevant. Now, the last question about refinancing costs. I think the company has a certain strength, and that strength is still there. We're adhering to our guidance, and before we said, we see we'll be profitable. The range is 8 to 10% in automobile, despite the high upfront investments. All of this is confirmed. We're right in the middle of the range indicated, and I see no reason why the profitability development of the company should have any negative effects on refinancing. In fact, the opposite is true. We are in a fortunate position to have very good refinancing conditions. We've got a very good rating, and we assume that refinancing will be offered to us at good conditions. Should interest rates rise, of course, this will affect us as well. But that is then something due to external conditions and not internal ones. One question is still open about Europe and a further deterioration of the situation. Dr. Reithofer, now, I'd like to be a little more specific about what I said before. Where are we in 2013? To give you figures, the entire market in the EU in 2013 we'll probably see a shrinkage of minus 3.8%. This is the forecast. It's the beginning of November now. That means the forecast is pretty good already. So in 2013, in the overall EU market, we'll have a decline to about 12 million units, roughly minus 4%. Now, what did I mean before when I said that in some markets we think we have reached a turnaround point? In summer 2013, we received our first economic indicators in the automobile market, also indicators suggesting that the bottom has been reached. This applies in particular to Spain and Portugal, who after a deep recession now have improved spring indicators. Then Italy, in contrast to that, is still suffering from political uncertainty. Now, a different example. Demand in the Netherlands is highly determined by the strong price decline on the market there. If we look at the German automobile market, German car market in total in 2013 is around 5% below last year's at 2.9 million units. This is where we are at the moment. And there are indicators, and I've mentioned a couple of countries that have reached the bottom, but the growth rates that we're talking about at the moment, they're still very moderate, of course. So we're not talking about the growth rates that we've seen in China or in the US. So for 2013 as a whole, I could summarize by saying to us, the EU, it's been a stagnating market for BMW products. The US, as I said before, had two-digit growth, same in China, or let me mention a couple of other countries, Japan, South Korea, New Zealand, Malaysia, Thailand, all these also had two-digit growth rates for us. That means our strategic orientation, we want to have a balanced distribution of our business worldwide, has again turned out to be beneficial to us in 2013. So we can say even for 2014, if the countries that I've just mentioned continue on their path to growth, then we can have balanced growth in Europe. If we have growth in Europe, then that will still be on a very low level. We expect that this won't happen before the second half of 2014. Now, I think I was pretty specific about this, and there are figures behind it. Thank you. Next question, please.
Thomas Fromm, Süddeutsche Zeitung.
Good morning. I've got two questions. One about the i3. Could you tell us how many pre-orders you received for it? Second question, also about the i3. How about the infrastructure? Now, what we have on the German roads, is that sufficient or do you need to provide more? I mean, is there a lack of infrastructure or are you saying it's all fine? And then another area, there was a lot of talk about investment where you said this is a burden, but then how about discounts? High discounts need to be given at the moment. How do you see that? Will there be a downward trend in terms of prices? How long will that last? And when will we get back to the level we once had? Thank you, Mr. Fromm. Perhaps it will be in your interest if I let the CFO answer this question, because he's a strategic CFO, Mr. Eichner. Thank you. Well, Mr. Fromm, your question about the i3. We've got 8,000 to 9,000 orders at the moment and around 100 requests for test drives. So there's still very large interest in that car. Now, the infrastructure. All around the i3, we have set up services that we can offer to our customers. These include, for example, the installation of a wall box
schneller laden zu können.
That enables customers to charge their car at home. An ordinary socket is sufficient to charge the i3. Overnight takes a little longer, but it's possible. So basically, the infrastructure is not a reason for not buying the i3. Of course, what we'd like to see is that especially in the municipalities and the towns, that there'd be more charging stations, because that would provide additional incentives for people to buy an i3. People who just want to go to an i3 but don't have a garage of their own, they can charge their car right there. But I think many towns and cities are actually considering now offering precisely these incentives because they want to also see the benefits of an electric car, of an i3 in their car. I mean, zero emissions, no noise while driving. This will develop over time, but for the start of the i3, I think the concept we have in place is fine. Now, about discounts, you quite rightly address this. To us, of course, this is an issue. It has accompanied us all through the euro crisis, but let me note, this is at the moment a European problem, and it is associated with the strong decline of markets in Europe. I always like to give Spain as an example. Before the crisis, the market size was about 1.7 million units. It now went down to 700,000. And of course, you have to fight for your customers on a market like that. I mean, the dealers want to survive too. And under such conditions, the market is under quite some stress, and that will also be felt with the discounts. But with a recovery of the Eurozone, the discount level will also go down. That's an experience we also made in 2010 after the crisis 2008-2009. There too we were able to reduce discounts. And as I said, this is a European problem. In other large world markets, we do not, luckily, not see a similar development. Thank you. Next question, please. Markus Fasse, Handelsblatt.
Good morning, gentlemen. About the i3, you said 8,000 to 9,000 pre-orders. Now, is there delivery bottlenecks or first deliveries in April or May? If you order now, do you have to wait until May until you get it? Now, can you confirm these delivery times and what is an acceptable delivery time for the i3 for you? And as a third question, there was talk about optimization loops in the production of the i3. Could you tell us how the ramp-up is going. And in Amsterdam, when you presented the car, you also said that you could imagine to make additional investment into the project. What type of additional investment? Is that about increasing capacities or is it about quality? Thank you.
Vielen Dank, Herr Fasse.
Dr. Eichiner? The question about the capacity or the need for capacity. Well, at the moment, we can't say anything final yet. We're happy about the great interest. I've told you what the figures are. We've got pre-orders worldwide, of course, and there seems to be large interest in test drives. Well, this is not about assessing an initial success. This is all about assessing a sustainable success, and only when we're able to see continuously increasing demand would we think about further investment. But we're not there yet. We're only just launching the car. What we can say about production is the number of units that we'd planned for 2013, that will come as planned, and in 2014, we will also be able to deliver within the range of our planned capacity. Whether that's sufficient or not is a question we cannot answer yet. It's quite conceivable that we have to accept slightly longer delivery times, but we don't think that's such a bad thing.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Olaf Storbeck, Reuters Breaking News.
Hello. I've got two questions. One about the development of sales in the third quarter. I've noticed that the number of units sold have increased 11%, while sales in euros stagnated. Can you elaborate on this? How much of this is due to discounts, to currency effects, and perhaps due to a trend towards smaller cars or a different model mix? Q3, is this a temporary effect, or will we stay on that level, or will that trend continue? My second question relates to the German market. How do you explain that there's such weak demand in Germany, although the economy is doing pretty well?
We'll begin with the development of sales in Q3, Dr. Eichiner.
Well, for sales development in Q3, there are several effects that come into play here. We're talking about the BMW Group now. On a group level, we have negative currency effects to start with, and they account for quite a lot. Adjusted for various effects, we're talking about more than 4%, or in fact, a growth of 4.4% compared to a decline of 0.4% in sales. And this is all just due to currency effects. Further effects are a higher share of sales of our joint venture. This is also driven by new products that will be launched and ramped up this year. It's also a seasonal effect. We'll also get new products on the import side, but this year there's much more momentum in the joint venture. That's because we do the X1 there, for example, just to mention one product. This also has an effect on these figures. And then due to our large leasing activities in the U.S., we've got considerable eliminations when we consolidate our accounts, and that's again an amount adding up to more than 1.2 billion in sales. Now, these effects can also explain the decline. I do not assume that there is a general downward trend in terms of sales, but the currency, I don't know how that will develop yet. A decline of 0.4% could turn into a plus 4.4 if we had the same conversion rate as last year. You see how much leverage there's in this. It's very hard to assess, but this could also turn in the opposite direction. If the euro is weaker, then this will have a positive effect on our sales. Second question, low demand in Germany despite good economic conditions. Dr. Reithofer.
I'll try and answer this as a three-part question.
First of all, 2013, what's the forecast, the entire market in Germany? We're assuming there'll be 2.9 million units, which would be minus 5.9% compared to the previous year. You asked for the reason for this. Well, we've got an opinion on this. We're saying this is related to uncertainty caused by the euro crisis. And this has also affected the Germans, especially in the private and corporate customers segment. And in the midterm, we're assuming that the entire market will stagnate in Germany. And in the long term, due to the demographic development in Germany, we're in fact expecting the market to shrink. So again, this year, there'll be a climb by 5.9%. Why is that? We believe this has got to do with the euro crisis in business with private and corporate customers. In the midterm, we're expecting the market in Germany to stagnate, and in the long run, I mean, we all know what the demographic development in Germany will be. We're in fact expecting the market to shrink. This is how we see Germany, and this is how we're planning. Thank you. Next question, please. Nico Schmidt, Dow Jones. Good morning. Thankfully, all of my questions have already been asked and answered, so I'm done. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. Next question. Frau Preisinger, Reuters. Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to know about the third quarter. Why did you pay less taxes? And then I'd like to know in which other series models could you imagine using carbon technology? And your outlook on 2014, could you be a little more detailed? You already indicated there could be more sales. The margin range will be maintained. Could you say something about profit, perhaps? And then e-mobility. It always suffers a little from the fact that you don't see any cars on the road. Do you both drive an i3 already? Thank you, Mrs. Preisinger. Let's do it that way. Why fewer taxes? Mr. Eichner will do that last, and we'll begin with the other part of your question. Dr. Reithofer. Okay, Mrs. Preisinger, you asked about carbon technology and in which series models would we be using it. Let me repeat. We're using it in two series models, that's in the i3 and in the i8, but another car, the BMW M4, will be launched shortly, and the M3, and there too, we have increased the share in carbon used as a material, and you will find when that car will be presented, you'll see that it'll have many carbon pieces in it. We've got more ideas about this, but I don't want to tell you about them yet. I mean, you know, think about our competitors. When I tell you now, then they know about it. But we've got more ideas. Now, about e-mobility, whether we both drive an E3 and i3 already, let me tell you that. We serve the customer first, and then we help ourselves. So we produce these cars for our customers first. Of course, we also drive these cars for test purposes. We take a car for the weekend or something, Mr. Eichner and myself, and we have driven them already on test drives with our other colleagues on the board, and I can tell you we had a lot of fun driving that car. Last week, by the way, we tested the i8 quite extensively, we as the members of the board, and we had great fun with that car, but with the i3, the customer comes first. Now, the outlook on 2014, the forecast, well, you know, once we've got our results for 2013 and when we present those on the balance sheet press conference, and before that, we don't want to comment in 2014. Okay, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. The taxes, right. We still owe you an answer. Well, tax payments didn't go down much. It's down to 33.1. We're still paying a lot of taxes, I would say. The main reason, there were certain expenses such as withholding tax, which are non-deductible, and these were a little lower than 2012, and this is why the margin changed slightly. Thank you, Mr. Eichner. Next question, please. Gabriel Wirth, Bayerischer Rundfunk. Hello, I've got two short questions.
You said 8,000 to 9,000 orders for the i3. Which countries do they come from?
Mr. Reithofer said at the beginning that there is much restraint among buyers also in Central Europe. Are you just referring to the Netherlands here, or is there other countries you had in mind?
That was it. Dr. Reithofer?
Well, a large Central European country is Germany. And I said before, the forecast for the entire market in Germany is a decline of 5.9% to 2.9 million vehicles. So this is one example, apart from the Netherlands. And there's one other country that has a lot of volume, and that's Great Britain. In the past, it used to be Spain and Portugal, Italy and Greece. And now, I've given you two examples, it's also Germany, where the market declined, and the Netherlands, the market declined. And I think that answers your question. BMW i3, pre-orders from which countries? We're not giving away any details yet. We've said several times that we're seeing the market in the U.S. very positively, also in terms of e-mobility. We've also said the forecast this year could be between 60,000 and 90,000 e-vehicles and those with a range extender. The world market this year, the estimate here is 150,000 e-cars. Last year we had around about 90,000. So there's positive signs of how this market is developing. In France, forecast for this year is around about 10,000 of these vehicles, and in Germany, we're lost 3,000 to 4,000. So you see which are the markets that we're concentrating on. We're much looking to the US, of course. Thanks, and next question.
Martin Brehm, Münchner Merkur.
Good morning.
I've still got a couple of questions. One is about the i3. Can you comment on the delivery times? Can you confirm what has been said before? A couple of months or something like that? And the second one relates to the development in Germany. You said midterm, long-term stagnation or even decline of the market. You've still got a very positive development of headcount. How will that development affect your employment situation, especially here in Germany? Can you comment on that?
Let's start with the i3 and the delivery times, Mr. Eichiner, and then Germany, Dr. Reithofer. Dr. Eichiner?
Well, I can confirm what Dr. Fasse said. We're expecting delivery times to be 3 to 4 months. And that's not that far away from what we have for the attractive combustion engine models.
Then Dr. Reithofer.
But Mr. Brehm, we must say what's positive about the European Union and the Eurozone is that the home market to us, with our production sites in Great Britain, Netcar in the Netherlands, with Magna Steyr in Austria, Netcar, Magna Steyr, they produce a contract, and with our plants in Germany, the European Union and the Eurozone are our home market. The advantage is that we've got no customs tariffs we need to pay when we export from Germany into other countries or when we export from Great Britain into other Euro countries or from the Netherlands with Netcar or Magna Steyr where the Countryman and the Passman are produced. And in this currency zone with 17 affiliated states, we have the great advantage that we've got no currency fluctuation, that we've got one single currency. And we as BMW Group can clearly say that our home market is not Germany, it's the European Union and the Eurozone. And we greatly approve of that. That's why we still believe that everything needs to be done in order to keep the Eurozone stable, because we want to maintain these advantages for the European industry. So much as an answer for your question.
And under that aspect alone, I must say, is it justified to have that much industry still in Germany, that much production? Okay, it's 5 to 11 now, depending on the scope of your question, we can still take one or two questions. Next question, please. Frau Pia-Frix from Automobilwoche.
Hello from Oberpfaffenhofen. I have two questions. The first goes to the strategic CFO. Mr. Eichiner, you said in your presentation that you are well set for 2014. You announced new models and you announced growth. Can you provide more details? How many models will there be and which ones? Do you want to increase your sales by a large degree and E3 and II8? What will the increases will be? And in the third quarter, due to software changes, you had considerable problems supplying spare parts to your dealers for several months. How could that happen, and has that problem been eliminated? How expensive was that problem to you, and what's the damage to your reputation vis-a-vis your customers?
Thank you, Mrs. Krix. We'll begin with the first part of the question, models and increase in retail. Dr. Eichiner.
Well, let me begin with the models this year, because we're ramping up new vehicles that we've introduced this year. That includes the 4 Series, a new Mini, a new X5, just to mention a few, the i3 you've already mentioned yourself. In addition to those product impulses, and this is where the effects will come in, that's next year. Right now we're still in a ramp-up curve. But in addition to that, we will introduce new models that haven't had a predecessor yet, based on our new front drive architecture, for example. And these products will then help us to generate sales momentum if the markets develop as expected, and Dr. Reithoff has already commented on this. Okay, these were the models. Then about the i3, you had a question about that. On delivery times. Actually, this question has already been answered. We expect it'll take 3, 4, 5 months perhaps of delivery time. And as I said at the beginning, we cannot determine yet whether there'll be sustainable demand. There's quite a hype at the moment, but whether that's sustainable or not, we can't say it. Dr. Reithofer, please. Frau Krix, well, in the meantime, the problems with the spare parts delivery have been eliminated and spare parts can now be delivered as usual. What's the background of these delays that had occurred in the sale of spare parts? It was the changeover of the central logistics program of the BMW Group, or a conversion of that program rather. It controls spare parts orders worldwide, as well as goods received and dispatched. We had to upgrade that program because it was quite old. And you asked how could that happen. And when we had to do a comprehensive migration, and in total that took 1 week's time. And this migration caused delays in processing orders. Perhaps not all customers could be served as we wanted to. This is, of course, a nuisance, but it didn't really change the image of the BMW Group. It sure was a nuisance, but there was no damage to our reputation. And as to the costs, of course, we will not comment on that.
Thank you, Herr Reithofer. It's 1 minute to 11, and we will still allow one further question. Jack Ewing, New York Times.
Good morning. I have an economic question, if I may. Inflation in the Eurozone is very low, 0.7%. Is that relevant to BMW in any way? Is it good or bad, or don't you care? I'd like to know that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ewing, also for this last question. Dr. Eichiner.
Well, I think low inflation is a good thing in general. But it leads me over to another question which is being discussed at the moment. Since interest rates are very low already and the economy has not really
gotten started yet in the Eurozone. We need to be prepared for deflation. I think that's the question that's being discussed at the moment. Very, very low inflation rates could in fact turn into deflation. We do not think that this pessimistic scenario will come true, because we do believe that Europe is strong enough to generate growth again. Of course, we need the necessarily political decisions to be taken as well in order to set the right conditions for companies that would favor growth. And as I said, that's why we're not assuming that this is a likely scenario. There has been a comparison with Japan, but I don't think that's going to happen. Thank you, Dr. Eichner. Colleagues, thank you for your interest. The telephone conference is now over, and we wish you a nice and successful day. Goodbye.